Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change here on a wonderfully hot, sunny day in Tucson. We're going from Los Angeles in our first segment, slightly down to coast to San Diego. Welcome, Tammy Greenwood, to the show. How are you this morning, Tammy?
I'm good. How are you?
Just terrific. Let me introduce Tammy. She's the author of 8 novels and received grants from the Sherwood Anderson Foundation, the Christopher Isherwood Foundation, and the National Endowment of the Arts, and most recently, the Maryland State Arts Council. Her book, Two Rivers, was named Best General Fiction Book at the San Diego Book Awards a few years ago, and 5 of her novels have been Book Sense and Indie Book Picks. Her 8th novel, our topic today, is called Bodies of Water. It was released last fall. It was also one of the opportunities I had to host Tammy on a panel at the Tucson Festival of Books back in March, so we're going to circle back in that regard. She's a native of Vermont and lives now in San Diego with her family, her husband, and 2 daughters. She also teaches creative writing, studies photography, and continues to write. So indeed, I will say this is a segment all about that ongoing fueling of creativity as well as storytelling. So again, Tammy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, Bodies of Water, give our listeners a sense of the basic storyline before we get too much further in our conversation.
Okay. The novel is set primarily in the early 60s, but then it leaps ahead to contemporary times. And it follows Billie Valentine, who is now in her 80s, and she gets a call from her sister saying that someone from her past is trying to reach her. And so then we sort of get thrown back into the past, and we learn about her relationship with her neighbor, Eva Wilson, and it's a love story. But it's not your typical love story. It's a love story between these 2 women.
And particularly being set in a time when the woman's role really was restricted for the most part in our society to being the primary home giver and caretaker of the children.
Right, right. They're both housewives, frustrated housewives living in suburban Boston. And it really follows their relationship, which evolves from, you know, one of neighbors to one of friends to being lovers. And it's a very tragic love story, as love stories of that sort were at the time. It is very much about the roles of women in that time period, as well as, you know, throughout, you know, the decades following.
Yeah. Tammy, you know, the fact that love and loss are such popular themes for writers to explore, is that something that you have, you know, been compelled to do for many, many years? Or why is that? How does that come together?
I think writers always write about loss. You know, I think the very nature of narrative is about trouble and heartache and, you know, and things that go awry. You know, it's story comes from struggle, and loss is definitely something I think that is pervasive in my work, but not just my work, in many books. And, you know, it's something that fascinates me. I think, you know, it's hard to have one without the other. You know, they're sort of binary opposites. You have things that you care for, and when you lose them, your heart breaks, and, but your heart doesn't break if you didn't love them to begin with. So it's, you
That's
know,
right.
Yin and yang. Can't have one without the other.
The storyline for this particular novel, Bodies of Water, was it something that you picked up from someone else's story, your imagination, other intersections of popular topics that prompted you to go in that place?
Right. Well, it's, you know, it's funny because it's so topical now. Even though the book is set in the early 60s, it's something that is on everyone's mind, you know, with the way that laws are changing and just the way that gay marriage is being, you know, sort of at the forefront of, you know, news and in our culture and in pop culture and all these things. You know, it's very present in people's consciousness right now. But the story itself actually just came from a family story. It was inspired by a family story. It's very much fiction, but it was something that, you know, I was given as a gift, and I had to pursue it because I felt that it was probably one of the most, you know, sort of moving stories I'd ever heard. So it started as a little nugget of truth and then bloomed into something, you know, something that was purely fictional, you know, basically, as most stories are. I think fiction tends to do that. It starts with the truth and then turns into a fiction.
So was the writing indeed of this story, taking that nugget of truth and moving it then into the lives of Billy and Eva, is that indeed how your previous seven novels were founded, by some sort of nugget of truth that came your way?
Yeah, I think basically, you know, all ideas come from a question. They all come from something that you hear or see or experience and for whatever reason, feel compelled to follow. And usually for me, it's a question. It's, you know, why or what if, you know, I always write in order to understand. And I've said this a zillion times, but I think some people write to teach. Yeah. And, you know, they have an agenda and they have a plan and something that they want to educate their readers about. And I tend to come from the opposite place where I write because I don't understand something, and through the course of writing a story, I learn, and hopefully, you know, the reader experiences the same sort of journey along with me as they're reading the story.
So the story of Billy and Eva from as you said it back in the early 60s, the amount of research that you might have done personally to enrich your story.
Right. Yeah, because I was born in the late 60s, so this is definitely not my time period. Luckily, the family members that shared the story with me initially were incredibly helpful in terms of giving me, you know, lots of wonderful details and, you know, about both the time and the place. And my parents, you know, were of that generation as well, and so they were able to give me a lot more, you know, information than I would have gotten if I were just, you know, going online and looking things up. But lots of little things, you know, and that's always really fun for me. I love, you know, sort of digging deep and finding out, you know, things about time periods and places that aren't necessarily my own.
Tammy, in her writing, for those of you who are listeners who haven't experienced Tammy Greenwood, she actually goes by T. Greenwood in the popular press, is, you know, I remember, because I was born a little bit sooner than you were, I can remember those descriptions of the very items you mentioned in the kitchens, for example, or the descriptions of the curtains, or how the toaster worked or didn't, or what the deal was with the car. And for you to have that rich of a portrayal in the literary sense and not having grown up or in the lived experience, that's not for the faint of heart of authors to do it in such an authentic, detailed way.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I think we all have our comfort zones, and definitely I feel like I have to write about places that I know and at least time periods that I've heard stories about or read about or, you know, watched movies about. You know, I would never set a book in India or, you know, something like that that is completely out of my comfort zone. And for some reason, for me, the 60s, and it's probably because my parents are, you know, were around then, and, and so I grew up hearing about that time period. You know, it feels like a comfortable place for me, for my imagination to go and to be able to write authentically about. And, you know, much of the book is set in Vermont, which is where I grew up, and so that's very, very comfortable for me.
But for those of your friends who've known you or family members, do you ever get a feeling that they're reading the book trying to find out if they've been featured or if the summer home you spent time with as a child or the lake or the canoe is actually there as well?
Yeah. I mean, people who know me and know my work all know that I talk about my books being autobiographical because they, you know, they're not my stories, but they are definitely set in a place that is a fictionalized version of a very real place to me. The lake that Billy and Eva go to in the summers is based on a place that my own family my grandfather built the camp on this pond in the 40s, and I grew up going there. And every summer, I drive with my daughters all the way from San Diego to Vermont, and we spend the month of August at this place. So anybody who knows my work knows, you know, that there are a lot of places that are very loosely disguised. people, I think, are... You know, the characters, on the other hand, tend to be more fictional. You know, they're not based as closely on people that I know.
And that's what was going to be, in fact, my next question. So as the story is unfolding in your mind, the way in which you write fiction, do you pretty much have the whole story laid out and then dive into the details as well as just the defining the characters? Or do the characters find you and then pull you through the evolution of the story?
Yes and yes. Okay. I mean, every single book has a different process. I'm not an outliner. I don't outline things. But this book was different in that there were so many givens. There was the basic bones of the story that I had that was based on this family story. And some of the characters were based on, you know, or inspired by real people. So it was a little different because I had more of a sense of the direction. I had more of a sense of the ending than I sometimes do. But usually I have to have two things to start, and that is a question, an image, something that's really, really compelling me to pursue it. It can be something really simple. It can just be a couple of characters in a situation or in a scene doing and saying things you know, that I need to pursue. And the second thing is that I have to hear the voice. I have to hear the narrative voice. So I usually will have like an opening line that just keeps coming back, you know, that I know is going to be the voice of the storyteller. And in this instance, it was Billy's voice as an 80-year-old woman talking about memory. And that's how the story opens. And that line has not changed from the first draft to the final draft.
Beautiful. We're speaking with Tammy Greenwood, or T. Greenwood, as she's popularly known, author of 8 books, her most recent book, Bodies of Water, and she was a guest here in Tucson for the Tucson Festival of Books. Tammy, I mentioned in the introduction that you also teach creative writing, as well as you're involved in photography. So your life of the teacher as well as the student and the explorer in a tangential creative medium. Tell us a little bit about that part and how it influences your own writing.
Sure. I teach for a couple of different places, San Diego Writers, Inc., and for the Writers Center Bethesda. I teach online for them. And I also teach at Grossmont College this semester. So I definitely am surrounded by students of writing all the time, which is really... really energizing. I love to be around aspiring writers. I have writers of all different backgrounds, you know, people who are just starting out as well as people who have been writing for years and are published. And so, for me, I really thrive when I'm, you know, in amongst my peers, and I really do consider my students my peers. They're engaged in the same process that I am. You know, it's the same thing. I have more experience than some of them, but we're all sort of, you know, we want the same things and we're trying to do the same things. And so that's really exciting for me. In terms of the photography, I really see, you know, all of my creative endeavors as just sort of different outlets for the same impulse. You know, I have a real need to capture things. From the time I was a little kid, I kept journals and I made lists, weird lists, you know, like everything I ate, all the books I read, the Christmas presents that I bought for people. And, you know, I've always had that inclination to want to capture things. And I think that both writing and photography for me do that. You know, my photography captures moments. I've primarily photograph my daughters, you know, as they've been growing up. They're 10 and 12 now, but I started taking pictures of them when they were 3 and 5, I think, and I've really documented their childhood, you know, through images, and in the same vein, I think writing documents, it's fiction, but it also documents my thinking, my way of looking at the world, you know, in the moment that I'm writing a book. You know, I've been publishing now for 15 years, but I've been writing since I was 7. So, you know, it's just part of the ongoing creative process and impulse to just sort of seize things.
Sure. If you would put your very first published novel now next to your eighth published novel,
oh God,
what would you see in terms of how you personally have changed, Tammy, in your style, your
vision?
Well,
and it's interesting. It's interesting because my first novel is Breathing Water,
Breathing, right.
It is about Gussie's granddaughter, Effie, and Gussie is Billy's sister in Bodies of Water. So it sort of comes full circle in a way, but it's, you know, I think first novels are so hard to look at. I was 27 or 28 when I wrote that book, and, you know, there are things that I love about it and I'm still proud about, and then there are other things that just make me cringe.
And what would that be? What makes you cringe? What makes you cringe?
Oh, I don't know. Just certain word choices.
Oh, okay.
And because, images, and yeah, it's, you know, you see, it's hard not to look back at work that you created when you were inexperienced and young and not see the flaws. You know, it really is. I mean, I tend not to reread my books too long after they've been written because it's just too difficult and painful.
Tell us now about the new project you've got underway, because I'm sure there's a novel, probably 9, 10, and 11. Who knows how many you've already got out there. But what's on the docket now?
Well, number 9 is, I'm actually just going over the copy edits. They're due on Monday, and it's a book called The Forever Bridge, and it is about a woman who is agoraphobic and her daughter, who's 11, and their family suffered the loss of a child in a car accident that happened on a bridge, and after the accident, the mother became, you know, sort of imprisoned by her own anxiety, and the daughter has become obsessed with bridges. And this is the story of the week where the daughter goes, she lives with the father now, they've separated, and the daughter goes to live with the mother. But it's also the week leading up to Hurricane Irene hitting Vermont,
yeah.
which was this devastating hurricane in 2011. And so there's all sorts of stuff going on in the story. There's also a pregnant teenage girl who's living in the woods behind the house. So there's basically the story of these three characters and how their lives intersect and the bridges that are created between them.
So did this story then start with someone gifting you that nugget, or, as you said earlier, a question that came your way that you didn't understand?
Yeah, it started with a question. When we go to Vermont every summer, we stay at this camp that's on the pond, and there's a little trailer on the way up. And a few summers ago, the person had, like, spray-painted signs, you know, keep out, no trespassing, and I was just really intrigued, like, you know, what would compel somebody to you know, fill their yard with signage. And so I just wanted to get inside that person's house and wonder what they were afraid of. And so it really started there and then you know, took off.
So, again, the type of fiction you've enjoyed writing and kind of flows. Again, you mentioned earlier you're an incessant journaler and to make lists. How many days a week it must be that some other new thing hits you and you say, I wonder about that?
Oh, I'm all the time. But sometimes they don't stick. Sometimes I'll get an idea and I'll think it's this fabulous idea and it'll be a dead end. And then other times I'll, you know, something, the book that I'm actually just starting right now, about a year ago, I heard a little, or read a little news snippet and the seed was sort of planted, but it was just in the last month or so that, I became totally obsessed with it. And usually it's a pretty good indication if a full year has passed and I'm still thinking
obsessed
about
with
something.
It. Yeah.
And then I have to write it down.
We're speaking with Tammy Greenwood in her most recent book, Bodies of Water, that's gotten much acclaim. The fact that your storyline here, of course, as you mentioned, hits the United States or the Western culture at challenging times of wrestling with such things as a woman's love story. I know your books have been picked up and circulated around the world. Do you get different reactions from different places in the world for Bodies of Water?
That's interesting. I haven't really thought much about that. Not so much with Bodies of Water because it hasn't been published in other countries yet. But I did have a novel called This Glittering World, which was published here and in Brazil, and the Brazilian readers had a very different response to it. It has a very tragic ending, and the Brazilian readers really loved it, and American readers not so much. So, I mean, you know, I think people either really loved it or really hated it here because of the ending.
Okay, yeah.
And so that's fascinating to me. But I haven't really heard from international readers of Bodies of Water yet. It'll be very interesting to see, you know, what the response is when it does come out overseas.
And the same when you get your whether your fandom or someone who sends you an email or you connect to at a book festival as you and I did, do you see any generational differences in terms of depending on the age of the reader that they respond to some of your topics or your characters?
That's a good question, too. Bodies of Water has been interesting just in that I was nervous about it. I was nervous about the reception. You know, it's not
edgy,
so much
that's
a taboo topic, but
right.
It definitely is, you know, it's a topic that that not everybody is going to, you know, take to in terms of, you know, wanting to read about a love affair between women. And so I was really curious about what the response would be. And my, you know, the best thing that I've heard, and I've gotten hardly anybody who's had negative things to say about, you know, the subject matter. And I've had a few, you know, older readers who, you know, sort of define themselves as being conservative or, you know, not normally open to reading about, you know, something with the subject matter and saying that they love the story. And that, to me, is, you know, sort of, I feel like my work is done at that point.
Well,
you know?
Like you say, because you really are not just answering your own question of understanding, but how you could see that evoke the, you know, a more balanced dialogue amongst other people.
Yeah, you know, it's all about creating empathy, and I write in order to understand people, and I think that I also read, and most people read, you know, to experience lives that are not their own, and it's the best way to sort of create a situation where somebody can safely experience what it's like to be someone that they don't necessarily identify with in real life, and you know, by putting people in Billy's shoes, I'm hoping I can make them understand, you know, even people who might not otherwise understand.
And how about you personally? How do you think you changed by writing a love story about two women?
I don't know. I mean, it was scary for me because I'm straight. And so, you know, I had to do justice to somebody's experience whose experience is not my own. And, I think every book that I write makes me a better person. I really do, because I feel like it opens my mind and, you know, forces me to really see the complexities of human beings and not generalize about people and everything I write, you know, and that's another reason why I write and
why
read.
Right, exactly. In fact, I think many people really underestimate the power of how what they choose to do and how they choose to do it is shaping them while they're going through that lived experience. Tammy Greenwood, thank you so much for joining us again. I commend her book, Bodies of Water. It's an exceptional read. Absolutely pulls you back to that time in the early 60s, as well as, though, the blend of the main protagonists, her current day life and the story that unfolds. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy sunny San Diego, and have a safe trip across the country to Vermont this summer.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.